back, ladies and gentlemen, for this June 7th, 2008 edition of the Liberty Hour, heard every week on this network, the Republic Broadcasting Network. As usual, I am one of your hosts, Mark Glenn, reporter with American Free Press. You'll notice, ladies and gentlemen, that I did not have to pause before announcing the date of today's program, June the 7th, 2008. The reason that I didn't have to pause is because I knew what today's is, June the 7th, for two reasons. The first of which is that tomorrow is my son's birthday, and what parent can forget the birthday of any of their children? But more importantly, for the purposes of today's program, tomorrow is the 41st anniversary of the execution, gangland-style execution, of 34 of our brave men who served aboard the USS Liberty. Everyone by now listening to this program knows the story, or at least part of the story. When an unarmed intelligence gathering United States flag flying ship was sailing peaceably in international waters in the Mediterranean Sea off the coast of Israel when she was attacked for almost 2 hours, leading to the, as I said, the execution, the murder of 34 of our men, and the attempted execution of 171 others. And this is what we are going to be talking about today, ladies and gentlemen, Liberty Weekend. We are not just lucky, but we are blessed not only to have our regular co-host with us, Phil Turney, survivor of the USS Liberty, but also we have two other survivors who are going to be on as well, and hopefully, some of the other survivors or family members of survivors listening to this program will get the gumption to call in with their own comments. As usual, our number is 800-313-9443. I'd like to bring up my good friend and my co-host for this program, Phil Turney, survivor of the USS Liberty. Phil, are you there?
Yeah, good morning, Mark. How are you? Yes, I am. Thank you.
I would like to say happy anniversary, Phil, but obviously there's nothing to be happy about this weekend other than the fact that you and some of the other men are still alive who were on the ship that day. I can imagine that this has got to be a very bitter, a very nerve-jolting weekend for you.
It is, Mark, and it's the same for all the survivors and their families. This time of year becomes very solemn and heart-wrenching for all of us.
Well, I'd say that that's pretty justifiable, Phil. I have a certain amount of solemnity in my heart as well right now, although obviously I was not there that day. In fact, the very moment that you guys were being attacked, more than likely, I was crawling around on the floor of my parents' home in diapers, which really just puts in perspective the true outrage of this, you see, because for 41 years, which by my math, that's somewhere around 15,000 days, our leaders, and I don't just mean the seven or eight presidents who have come and gone since that time, I'm talking about every member of Congress, both the House and the Senate, our military leaders, the leaders of our federal law enforcement agencies, our intelligence chiefs. For 15,000 days, they have allowed this wound to go undressed. And there is the music indicating that we are going to our first break. Everybody, stay tuned. I would ask that you hold your calls for just a little while. We've got something planned for you. But we'll be back in just a few. Stay tuned.
Yeah. heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your two-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
Would you trade your freedom for a fresh tomato? Before you laugh, just look at the news headlines. The world food shortage is real and is happening right now. Are you prepared? Do you have a long-term food solution? Time is running out. Visit survivalistseeds.com. Learn how you can have healthy food for just 4 pennies a pound. The choice between abundance and starvation is made today, not when it's too late. Order from survivalistseeds.com today and get a free instructional video on how to make a portable water filter. That's survivalistseeds.com. Get 5,000 pounds of fresh food for 4 pennies a pound. Learn how to never run out of food at survivalistseeds.com. That's survivalistseeds.com. Remember, your lack of action today will determine your suffering after the collapse. Survivalistseeds.com. Because patriots never run out of food.
Listener, ask yourself, can I be deceived? Matthew 24 states 4 times in the last days that many will be deceived. There are many ideas about the mark of the beast and the Antichrist. What do you know about the beast, its mark, and the Antichrist? Is the beast a superpower nation or a giant computer in Belgium? Is its mark a chip implant, a tattoo, the national ID card, or 666? Is the Antichrist a person, title, or both? Is the beast and the Antichrist one and the same? Some believe all this is yet future. Others believe that it is in the past. 1 John states that the Antichrist is already in the world. What is the truth and what is a lie? Are you willing to search God's Word for the truth? Friends, all these answers are in the Bible. For free books, DVDs, and Bible studies exposing the Antichrist, the beast, and its mark, write The Bible Says, Box 99, Lenore City, Tennessee, 37771, or call 1-888-211-1715, 1-888-211-1715. Please remember to mention you are from RBN.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the first hour of the Liberty Hour, and thank you for joining us on this great Saturday morning, and we hope to bring you a very informative and interesting show. I would like to begin by saying that my son, Shane, will be ringing the ceremonial bell for the men that were killed aboard the Liberty. As Mark put it more eloquently than I have, they were executed. Now, my son Shane, he is on his journey Monday to becoming a Navy SEAL, and it is his honor to ring the ceremonial bell. So with that said, I'll be reading the names, and the bell will be rung. Please take it in your heart to remember these men that gave their lives for us. Lieutenant Commander Philip McCutcheon Armstrong, Jr. Lieutenant James Cecil Pierce. Lieutenant Stephen Spencer Toth. CT3 William Bernard Allenbaugh. Seaman Gary Ray Blanchard. Civilian Alan Merle Blue. QM3 Francis Brown. CT2 Ronnie Gordon Campbell. CT2 Jerry Leroy Converse. CT2, Robert Burton Eisenberg. CT2, Jerry Lee Goss. CT1, Curtis Allen Graves. CTSM, Lawrence Paul Hayden. CT1, Warren Edward Hersey. SN, Carl Lewis Orr. CT2, Richard Walter Keene Jr. GMG3, Alexander Neil Thompson Jr. CTSN, James Lee Lanoux. CTC, Raymond Eugene Lynn. CT1, James Mahalan Lupton. CT3, Dwayne Rowe Margraff. CTSN, David Walter Marlborough. CT2, Anthony Peter Mendel. CTSN, Carl Christian Nygren. Sergeant, United States Marine Corps, Jack Lewis Raper. Corporal, United States Marine Corps, Edward Emery Ray Meyer III. ICFN, David Skolak. CT1, John Caleb Smith, Jr. CTC, Melvin Douglas Smith. PC2, John Clarence Spicer. CT3, Thomas Ray Thornton. CT3, Philip Charles Taitiki. CT1, Frederick James Walton. CT3, Alan Higgins. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. That is the names of the men that were executed on that day, and I may remind you that the men that were aboard that ship soon after were told by our own government to keep quiet about this act of treason, this act of war, war crime against our country and ourselves, to shut up. We'd go to prison or worse, and everybody knew what worse meant. And with that being said, Mark, please go ahead.
Well, Phil, I thank you for doing that very difficult job that you just did. You know, you and I talked about this yesterday, and I said, Phil, you're going to be able to get through this in one piece, because I said, I hope you can, because I certainly would not be able to. You know, it's one thing to just remember that 34 men were executed, 34 of your, not just your shipmates, not just your fellow Americans, but really your brothers in arms. It's another thing to read out their names and to know that there were people who loved them then. There are people who love them now. And yet these men were stolen from the lives of American families. And they have yet to get a decent burial. And by that, what I mean is they have yet to get the recognition that they deserve for the price they paid. You know, that list of our fallen men should have been read every single day on the floor of the U.S. House, on the floor of the U.S. Senate. Every day that a prayer is uttered in our Congress by the chaplain, included in that prayer should be that God would deliver this country from the horrible occupation that it is suffering by a foreign power, and that these men will finally be offered the opportunity of resting in peace. And yet here we are, on the week that we commemorate the execution of these 34 men, and our three candidates for president they have to go and they have to pay tribute to the same foreign power responsible for killing these men, for perpetrating an act of war against the American people. You know, this is no different. What took place this week in AIPAC when our three candidates, our three main candidates, went and groveled before these executioners. This is no different than what people have to do when they go and they visit some mafia boss, and they have to kiss his ring, and they have to swear fealty to him, and give him a little bag of money so that he will bless whatever business they are getting involved in. It's no different, ladies and gentlemen. Having said that, then, I would ask personally, ladies and gentlemen, that you pray for the repose of the souls of the men who died that day. Pray for their families, because certainly I can tell you from experience, having been at the reunion last year, these families are still grieving. To them, it is still very much as real, very much as strong as it was for them 40 years ago. They still weep in the open when they talk about the loss of their loved ones. So I would ask that that you pray for them and ask God to give them the comfort and the solace that they deserve. Having said that, then, Phil, we have two very important guests on the show today. Two men who I consider to be very brave men. The first is Ron Kukel, who was a communications technician aboard the Liberty. Ron really is the one, Phil, if there can be one person who can be credited with bringing this radio program into existence, it is Ron, because Ron was the first person who contacted me a few years ago. He had heard me on a radio program, and he looked me up and he emailed me and told me who he was, told me he had been aboard the Liberty, and Ron really was the one who kicked the door wide open for me in getting involved in the Liberty issue. The second person that we're going to have on today is Gary Brummett, who, if I am, unless I'm mistaken, Gary was a technician who worked in the boiler room, and the boiler room of the Liberty was like the ship's power center. This is the room that ran the engines that kept everything running on the ship. And from what you've told me, Phil, if Gary had abandoned his post, Gary and his shipmates, if they had abandoned their posts when those torpedoes were steaming towards your ship, you guys really would have been dead in the water, and we probably would not be having this conversation that we're having right now. Is that correct?
Mark, you couldn't have said it any better than that. Can you imagine the courage and the honor it took for those men to stand their post when they knew certain death was on the way? They were in the bowels of the ship. There were three decks down. There was no way out. And they stayed there and manned their post when they knew that if a torpedo hits there, it's automatic death. They could have just as easily scurried out of there like little rats. But the honorable men that they are, the heroes that they are, they stayed at their duty station as the CTs did. And the majority of the casualties was in the CT spaces. 25 of those men were slaughtered when a torpedo hit us on the starboard side. One frame away from the engine room. So just by the grace of God, the mercy of our Heavenly Father, that we're here to talk about this now.
Well, Phil, having said that, then let's give you and me a break from having to speak, and let's bring these two fine men up. Ron, are you with us? Well, Ron is not there. He is, but Ron, I hear that music indicating that we're going to have to go to a break. So just stay tuned, everybody. We will be back in three with two. I take that back. With three American heroes, the men of the USS Liberty. Stay tuned, ladies and gentlemen.
heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your two-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
Are you new to freeze-dried foods? These fine, easily storable foods were first developed for the U.S. space program. Today, the U.S. military and the U.S. submarine service enjoy using these products extensively. Freeze-dried foods typically maintain their high nutritional value in excess of 30 years. Why store emergency food? Keeping food on hand for emergencies protects you the same way as does insurance on your home or car. With Freeze Dry Guy freeze-dried foods in your food reserve, you can be ready for just about any unexpected crisis. In today's turbulent times of uncertainty, global crisis, world market collapse, stock market volatility, increased frequency of natural and man-made disasters, there has never been a better time to get a survival insurance policy. Take the necessary steps to protect your family in these uncertain times. Visit freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-FOOD, 866-404-3663. We pay the freight within the lower 48 states.
Most of mankind's diseases have now been conquered. This medical breakthrough can save your life or the life of a loved one. Please listen. The answer to AIDS, hepatitis A, B, and C, malaria, herpes, TB, most cancers, and many more of mankind's worst diseases has been found. Details of this amazing secret has been freely disclosed in Jim Humble's book, The Miracle Mineral Supplement of the 21st Century, available at miraclemineral.org. Read how in five countries of Africa, over 75,000 cases of malaria and other diseases were successfully treated with this new mineral supplement. Learn more at miraclemineral.org. It also works with cold, flu, pneumonia, sore throats, warts, mouth sores, and even abscessed teeth. Download part one of this amazing book free at miraclemineral.org. Then, if you're satisfied, purchase part two for only $9.95 or the hard copy for only $19.95. Please enter RBN when prompted on where you heard about miraclemineral.org.
We're back, ladies and gentlemen, for this June the 7th, 2008 edition of the Liberty Hour. This is Mark Glenn, cub reporter for American Free Press newspaper. Check it out on the net at AmericanFreePress.net. I'm proud to say that this week my newspaper is putting out a 12-page supplement on the Liberty. Basically, almost all the articles that have been written by my newspaper in the last 25 years on the subject, cost us quite a bit of money to put that supplement out, ladies and gentlemen. We don't charge anything for it to subscribers of American Free Press. In addition, we're going to, this year is different than other years in that we're going to have several articles from my good friend at the other end of the phone line, Phil Turney, who wrote four or five excellent articles that appeared within the last, say, 4 or 5 months on the Liberty. So you can get copies of that supplement by calling American Free Press, and if I had the number in front of me, I'd give it to you. But having said that, let's bring up our two brave guests. The first is Ron Kuchel, who was a communications technician aboard the Liberty that day, and Gary Brummett, who was, I don't know what the official title is, but he was a boiler room technician or an engineer, a plant engineer, something like that. So, Ron, are you with us, brother?
I'm here.
It's good to have you with us. Gary, how about you?
Yes, I'm here, Mark.
Thanks for coming on, fellas. Listen, I'm just going to kind of sit back in the background, and I'm going to let you three boys run things for a while, because this really is your program, fellas, not mine. So, Phil, why don't you take it from there?
Okay, I'd be glad to. Good morning, Ron. Good morning, Gary. It's glad to have you on the show. Thank you very much, and happy anniversary, if we could say that.
Morning, Phil. And Gary.
I would like to start off with you, Ron, and if you would please tell the audience what your duty was when we got to Malta 6 or 7 days after the torpedo struck us, and what you had to do at that point in time, please.
Phil, I'd be glad to do that. I'd like to veer off a little bit from
Anything you want to do is fine. Go ahead.
Okay. I'm going to veer off just a little bit, but I will start this off by saying that as one of the communications technicians, most of us guys work with classified material on a regular basis, and we're trusted by our government completely. I was the petty officer in charge of body recovery and identification, and I decided today that I don't think I can go into that. I'm going to be about like Phil. I would break up. It was noticed, Phil, and that's okay. I know how heartfelt you feel about these men that are gone. So without any further ado, may I, if the audience please, I would like to read an essay, and I'll read it as quickly as possible by former Congressman Paul McCluskey.
Mm-hmm.
He wrote this essay after the dedication of the USS Liberty Memorial Library in Grafton, Wisconsin. It's heart-moving. Listen to it closely, and bear with me. I got 3 grandkids in the background here, and one of them was sick last night, and I'm so sorry that this is the way it has to be.
That's no problem, Ron.
Here's
Don't
McCluskey's essay, written after the dedication of the USS Liberty Memorial Library in Grafton, Wisconsin. By the way, when we dedicated this library, there was a SWAT team on the roof because they were so afraid something was going to happen to us.
Ron,
Husky's essay. Go ahead.
If I could interrupt real quick, I don't mean to break up the solemnity of this, but we are going to go to a break here in just a minute. You know, I think it's very important for the people to know, you know, what you just mentioned, which is when this little library was being dedicated in this little country town in Wisconsin, you guys had to have massive police protection, not just regular uniformed officers, but a SWAT team. Now, anybody out there who hasn't watched TV lately and doesn't know what a SWAT team is, you're basically talking about militarized police officers, people who are sharpshooters, people who, they don't just carry a sidearm, they carry automatic weapons, okay? Now, what in the hell did you guys do? Or what was it about the dedication of this library that required basically a militarized police protection?
First of all, they didn't want it to happen.
Now, when you say they, Ron, who are you talking about?
I think it was the ADL, the AIPAC. There was a lot of demonstrating going on, even when they broke ground. I wish John Rankowski, and if you're listening, John, you were there. Call in, please. John Rankowski was there. He saw this whole thing happen. And I talked to John right after the groundbreaking ceremony. And John was in pieces because it was so terrible what they were doing just because we wanted to build this library. Call in, John.
All right. Ron, there's the music as I predicted was going to happen. How about that? If I could just predict tonight's lottery numbers, all my problems would be solved. Anyway, when we get back, Ron, I'm going to have you read that letter by former Congressman McCluskey. Everybody stay tuned. You are listening to the Liberty Hour on this USS Liberty Memorial Weekend.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your two-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
Listener, ask yourself, can I be deceived? Matthew 24 states four times in the last days that many will be deceived. There are many ideas about the mark of the beast and the Antichrist. What do you know about the beast, its mark, and the Antichrist? Is the beast a superpower nation or a giant computer in Belgium? Is its mark a chip implant, a tattoo, the national ID card, or 666? Is the Antichrist a person, title, or both? Is the beast and the Antichrist one and the same? Some believe all this is yet future. Others believe that it is in the past. 1 John states that the Antichrist is already in the world. What is the truth and what is a lie? Are you willing to search God's Word for the truth? Friends, all these answers are in the Bible. For free books, DVDs, and Bible studies exposing the Antichrist, the beast, and its mark, write The Bible Says, Box 99, North City, Tennessee, 37771, or call 1-888-211-1715, 1-888-211-1715. Please remember to mention you are from RBN.
The Berkey Light's unique design combines the age-old process of microporous filtration coupled with modern state-of-the-art technology and the highest quality materials, bringing you the finest water filter available anywhere. The revolutionary Berkey Light, with its exclusive black Berkey filter elements, remove pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels. Harmful or unwanted chemicals are reduced to below detectable levels. And it reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury while leaving the nutritional minerals your body needs. Made of durable Lexan, the material used in making bulletproof glass, the system is durable, rugged, and yet attractive. The Berkey Light is transparent, so there is no guesswork when refilling the system. The water level is always visible. The rechargeable LED lighting system is beautiful as a nightlight and as necessary in emergency situations. Get the Berkey Light, the transparent water filter, for only $259.
Call today, 877-605-9200. That's 877-605-9200.
We're back, ladies and gentlemen, for this June 7th, 2008 edition of the Liberty Hour. I am honored to be in the presence of who I consider to be three great men, three survivors of this liberty. Ron, you were just about to read this letter by former Congressman Pete McCluskey at the dedication of the USS Liberty Memorial Library in Grafton, Wisconsin. Why don't you go ahead and do that?
Okay. Written by former Congressman Pete McCluskey in California. A heartwarming event took place a few days ago in the village of Grafton, Wisconsin, population 10,000. 20 miles north of Milwaukee and surrounded by the rolling cornfields of southeastern Wisconsin. It was an especially beautiful June day, bright and sunny with a cooling breeze off Lake Michigan. In a brief ceremony, the town's leading citizens unveiled a simple memorial to 34 U.S. Navy officers and men killed by Israeli torpedo, rocket, and machine gun fire 22 years earlier, on June 8, 1967. The Israelis, on the verge of attacking Syria's Golan Heights, had unleashed a furious fighter-bomber and torpedo boat attack on the intelligence-gathering ship, the USS Liberty, off the shores of Egypt's Sinai Desert. The U.S. flag had been flying in an 8-knot breeze during several earlier reconnaissance reconnaissance flights. And every man on the Liberty believed that the word is reconnaissance flights, and many men on the Liberty believed that the attack was no accident. The U.S. Secretary of State, Chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, and the Director of the National Security Agency have agreed with them. Strangely enough, the dedication of the memorial with the names of the 34 dead U.S. servicemen was the first public recognition of their sacrifice in the 22 years since the attack. There had also been 171 wounded from the crew of 294. That amounts to about a 70% rate of injury. No U.S. naval vessel since World War II had suffered a greater percentage in battle casualties. The honor to the 34 dead Americans, however, did not come from their commander-in-chief, the U.S. Navy, nor their senators and congressmen. 22 years after the fact, all but one of the political and military leaders of the nation, successors to those for whom the 34 U.S. sailors had died that hot afternoon on June 8, 1967, were too afraid to attend or even send a congratulatory message. That the ceremony was held at all was a tribute to two sturdy Grafton civic leaders and their wives, former Navy veteran Jim Grant and his wife, Carol, and John and Marie Dickman Grant. Grant was president of the town's board of trustees, Dickman the head of his own small manufacturing company in Grafton. Together they had organized the memorial event against bitter editorial opposition from Wisconsin's largest newspaper and from the Milwaukee Jewish community. Now, when I go to the second page, I hope you listen closely. And if you can hear my heart hammering, it is. The stone memorial bearing the names of the 34 dead, including one Jewish boy who was unveiled by one of two U.S. Navy regulars who attended, a lieutenant commander who had been a seaman first class aboard the Liberty during the 1967 Israeli attack, a former Navy combat pilot, President Bush, had been invited to attend. He didn't, nor did his office send the customary congratulatory message. The Secretary of Defense and of the Navy had been invited. Neither responded. The commander of the nearby Great Lakes Naval Training Station had been invited. Neither he nor even a Navy band was allowed to attend. No blue angels flew overhead. The clear word from on high was that no Navy personnel should dignify this particular memorial ceremony. One solitary chief petty officer, a recruiting officer from a nearby town, showed up. He tersely commented that he would have come even if the whole damn Navy officer corps had ordered him not to. Their remarks from the small podium in the afternoon sunshine were brief. The Liberty's chaplain gave a moving invocation. The ship's captain, Commander McGonigal, wearing the Congressional Medal of Honor, awarded him for having saved his ship despite severe wounds, thanked the president of the town's board of trustees for the honor done his crew, the chairman of the Grafton Library Committee, Mrs. Carol Snyder, raiser of over $1 million to build the new town library, gave a few words of thanks. The local state assemblyman and state senator made a few remarks, as did the American Legion commander, the head of the Chamber of Commerce, and a former congressman. Two Liberty crew members, one officer, and one enlisted man gave U.S. Liberty crew jackets to the two elderly Grafton industrialists, Ben and Ted Grobe, brothers who had preserved their machine tool company through the Depression years and who had contributed to countless Grafton charitable causes, large and small, before donating $500,000 for the new library. When the Grobe brothers were invited by the library committee to name the library after themselves, the Grobes had asked instead to name it for the USS Liberty. The Grobes had read about the 1967 library incident in a book, Assault on the Liberty, written by Deck Officer Jim Ennis. Ennis's book had made it clear that the attack was deliberate, not accidental, and that the Israeli attack on the Liberty's life rafts
were clearly intended to leave no survivors. It is not easy to find Innes' book in bookstores today, despite the fact that it sold out five printings. The publishers no longer find it politically correct to publish and sell this particular piece of American historical writing. The ceremony on the lawn of the New Grafton Library at least had marvelous music. The Lakeshore Philharmonic Orchestra, 20 volunteers strong, ages 16 to 60, opened with America the Beautiful, then accompanied a talented local soprano in the Star Spangled Banner. And finally, when the names of the 34 dead young Americans were slowly read, gave a soft rendition of My Country 'Tis of Thee. There were a few dry eyes among the surviving Liberty crewmen. And several hundred Grafton citizens standing on the lawn were in the adjacent street. An honor guard of aging American Legionnaires, mostly veterans of World War II, fired three volleys from M1 rifles, which some of them could barely lift to the firing position. The orchestra rendered a final taps. There was a brief tour of the new library, still without books for the townspeople, and 40 odd library survivors and their families, following with lemonade and brownies, which were served to all hands in the basement. Almost last to leave were a quiet couple and their two adult children, the family of Seaman Jerry Goss, all from Fort Wayne, Indiana. Mr. and Mrs. Goss had lingered a while to quietly gaze at the simple memorial gravestone with their son's name on it. The Milwaukee Journal, once a great crusading newspaper for over a year, had written scathing editorials and news articles condemning the Grafton Citizens Committee and town leaders who had agreed to name the library after the USS Liberty. The Journal thought the name was controversial and might evoke anti-Semitic feelings. The Journal's article the next day was somewhat muted, devoted only half its words to the controversy the newspaper itself had created by terming the name of a U.S. Navy ship as a rallying point for anti-Semitic organizations. The Journal's article stressed the police SWAT team protection provided the ceremony, mentioned the attack as a strange historical footnote to the Six-Story War, Israel's claim that the attack was an accident, and that Ben Grobe had once given campaign contributions to a former leader of the Ku Klux Klan and other right-wing causes. The article cited some Jewish groups who had said those who wished to memorialize a ship by naming the library were, at the very least, insensitive. Okay, we're almost done. To the crew of the Liberty, the real heroes present were the Grants and the Dickmans, who had weathered the personal attacks from the Journal and the greater Milwaukee Jewish community for the previous 2 years. As Oliver Wendell Holmes, veteran of the 20th Massachusetts Regiment, wounded at Battle Bluff, once paraphrased, "The perils of civil strife can be greater than the battlefield." As the two buses with the USS Liberty survivors and their families left the new library's parking lot, one man leaned out the window for a final salute to the American flag flying over the new monument and said, "Thank you, Grafton." That's pretty much the end of the letter, and about all I can handle right now. And John Rankowski, I'm begging you to call in. Take it from there, Phil.
Ron?
Yeah.
I wanted to, thank you very much for reading that letter, and I remember when Congressman McCluskey was reading it. But I also have a letter here from Benjamin Grobe, and it is dated October the 19th, 1987. It's just a short letter, but I'd like to read it because it brings into context exactly what you were just saying. It says, "Mr. Philip Turney, care of the Spotlight, which is known now as American Free Press, the newspaper that Mark Lynn works for and writes for as a Cub reporter. this letter came out, like I said, in October 1987. It says, "Dear Mr. Turney, congratulations on your courage in coming forward in your interview in the spotlight of October 19, 1987. My brother Ted and I have made a substantial contribution to build a new library in Grafton, which entitles us to name the library. Instead of calling it the Grove Library, as we suggested, we would like to call it the USS Liberty Memorial Library. Before doing this, we would like to have the reaction of the families of the murdered as well as the survivors. Very truly yours, Benjamin Grove." So, these men, as you know, Ron and Gary, had been labeled as anti-Semites, Jew haters, and Nazis. Are you aware of that? I know you are, Ron. I know you are, Gary. Anytime you want to chime in, Gary, please come on in.
I do have a couple of things I would like to say. As always, I thank Republic Broadcasting Network for having us on this morning and having the Liberty program. Tomorrow, as we all know, and I will give it a new name, it will be our 41st remorseful anniversary of the attack. In me, it only evokes emotion and rage because of what has happened and what's still going on. Phil, I want to thank you, son Shane, for ringing the bell and calling out the crewmen's names. I'm sitting here drinking a cup of coffee, and 41 years is a long time. Most of the names you called out, these guys in my mind, their face popped up as you called them. And it still gives me chills. And it reinforces my belief that we can never give up. And I want to respond to what Ron has been talking about with the Grafton Library, because, you know, there's so many stories about the Liberty, and all of them need to be told. But prior to the dedication, Jim Grant, I think he was the mayor or head of the town council, whatever the correct title for it would be there in Grafton. During the time when it was, from the time it was announced they were going to name this the Liberty Memorial Library, the lead newspaper in Milwaukee had 63 attacks against the town of Grafton and Jim Grant. The Jewish League of Milwaukee went to Grafton, Wisconsin, met with Jim Grant, done everything they could to try and get him to change the name of this library because they said it was an affront, an offense to the Israelis, to the Jewish people. Now, naming a library in Milwaukee after Golda Meir, that was all fine, well, and good. But let's don't remember the Liberty crew. Now, I have a grievous problem with all that. And as Ron has mentioned, all the different people that were invited, and only the one Navy chief showed up. I remember him standing there that morning by the stone that the LVA had the names inscribed on in his white uniform. And, you know, the honor guard was not from Great Lakes, which it should have been. It was from the Rose Harms VFW post. And these people, it was honor guard was not just men, it was also ladies. The youngest one there probably was at least 70 years old that gave the 21-gun salute. I remember the day so very much. And you mentioned the one sailor that, as we were going in the library, that hollered out, "Thank you, Grafton." Well, that was crewman Steve Latore from Colorado also. He was the one that did that day. It was a wonderful thing that the Groves did, but the controversy around it, it's just a behooving something to me. I cannot understand why the rank and file American, I'm sure, sides with us. The small towns, they have supported us. But when you get up to the national level, the politically correct group, we so to speak, we're screwed. Nobody's listening.
Gary,
go ahead, Phil. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I just wanted to get your thoughts on Senator John McCain and his father and his cover up in this whole issue and how that began. What are your thoughts on the senior McCain, and then go on to the junior McCain that's running for president, please?
Well, Admiral McCain, he was commander-in-chief of European naval forces in Europe. His office was in London. After the Liberty was attacked, he dispatched Admiral Isaac Kidd and then senior legal counsel to the court, Captain Ward Boston. They were the ones that done the investigation. Now, this was done in 6 days, as we all know, which it should have taken at least no less than 6 months. Some of the testimony that they gathered was excised out of the official Naval Court of Inquiry, and when they asked about going to Israel, they were told right quick, no, this is not going to happen.
Gary, if you would, hold that thought. We've got to go to a break. Everybody stay tuned. We'll be back in three with three American heroes, survivors of the USS Liberty. And your call, 800-313-9443.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your 2-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
Hi, this is Dave from Ready Reserve Foods. I have been waiting patiently for the government and mainstream media to inform you of what is turning out to be the biggest problem facing the world in the last 50 years. For the last 3 years, the Earth has consumed more food than it has been able to produce, and it has now finally caught up with us. In the U.S., commodities such as flour and rice are already being rationed, and the next rice crop won't be available for another 4 to 5 months. It's fall in the Southern Hemisphere, and many countries are short the food necessary to make it through the winter and have stopped exporting certain commodities altogether. Remember our trade deficit? Trillions of dollars have stacked up outside the country and are now rushing in to buy our food production at any price. By late summer, if not early fall, it is likely our government will step in and control food and food exports under martial law. Call Ready Reserve Foods at 1-800-453-2202, 1-800-453-2202, or visit us at www.readyreservefoods.com. 1-800-453-2202.
Would you trade your freedom for a fresh tomato? Before you laugh, just look at the news headlines. The world food shortage is real and is happening right now. Are you prepared? Do you have a long-term food solution? Time is running out. Visit survivalistseeds.com. Learn how you can have healthy food for just 4 pennies a pound. The choice between abundance and starvation is made today, not when it's too late. Order from survivalistseeds.com today and get a free instructional video on how to make a portable water filter. That's survivalistseeds.com. Get 5,000 pounds of fresh food for 4 pennies a pound. Learn how to never run out of food at survivalistseeds.com. That's survivalistseeds.com. Remember, your lack of action today will determine your suffering after the collapse. Survivalistseeds.com. Because patriots never run out of food.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, for the last part of the first hour of the two-hour Liberty Show. And I would like to have Gary Brummett, please go ahead and continue on with your thoughts. And Ron, anytime you want to break in or have anything to say, please do so. We'd appreciate your comments. Go ahead, Gary.
Thanks.
Well, as I was saying, Admiral Isaac Kidd, who is now deceased, and Captain Ward Boston, who was the legal counsel, senior legal counsel to the court back at the time, had went back to London after their initial testimony that they took from the testifying crewman, And they said, well, we need to go to Israel. Well, McCain, no, you know, this is not going to happen. And it didn't happen. Of course, the cover-up had been in full swing at this point for nearly 2 weeks. I want to add a side note to this. When I say the cover-up had been in full swing for nearly 2 weeks, you know, when we were attacked, you would think a ship that was as badly damaged as the Liberty was, the structurally the most damaging thing was naturally the torpedo hole, which was 22 by 39 feet. Our closest safe harbor would have been at the Isle of Crete, in which they did have a dry dock facility large enough to accommodate us. But we were not routed to Crete. We were sent all the way to Malta, which that was roughly 5.5 days steaming time from where we were. The significance in that to me is the fact that that gave the politicians 5.5 more days to construct a story. It gave them 5.5 more days to keep us out of light or away from the news media. And there was always the good possibility, I imagine they hoped, that we might sink. And it would you'd never get to look at the Liberty and what had happened to it. But after we got there to Malta, they done for the lack of a better word, a cursory review of what happened. This information was prepared and sent back to Washington. Now, in this testimony, one of our fellow crewmen, Lloyd Painter, and I use his name because he's told me that it's all right for me to use what he has written and testified to. He said in the last paragraph of an affidavit that he gave during his testimony, you know, he stated about coming up on the main deck port starboard side and watching the Israeli motor torpedo boats fire on the life rafts. Well, this testimony was excluded or excised from the original Naval Court of Inquiry. And in October of 2003, Captain Ward Boston has signed an expanded affidavit, and we have him on CD stating that the Naval Court of Inquiry file that our government shows today is not the one he signed. You know, there's never really been a good investigation. But to kind of get back to McCain, I don't know at what point in time after this, but Admiral McCain, he was a good lapdog. He done as Lyndon Johnson wanted. His next command was a Pacific command, which that put him up over all of Vietnam. Well, somewhere along in that time frame, his son, Senator McCain, or No Brain McCain, as some of us call him, he was captured as a POW. And I have to wonder this. I don't know this, but I have to wonder it. Here you've got the son of the senior military man that's over the Vietnam War. It would appear to me that he was probably somewhat of a prize to the North Vietnamese. And I just really have to wonder about his treatment. I know being a POW for 5.5 years would be like being in any kind of a prison. It would be
Gary, hold that thought if you would. We got to go to a break. We'll be right back. Everybody stay tuned. We'll be back in 3.
Men